Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." All of Matthew chapter 28. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Lord, thank you, Father, for loving us with an everlasting love. You loved us so much that you sent your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift the world has ever known, into the world. You sent him and you made a way for us to be saved, to come into a new relationship with you and one another. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of your church, Lord. And Father, you've commissioned us to carry the gospel to the world. You've commissioned us to go forward to make disciples, and you've commissioned us to love your people. Empower us, Lord, to faithfully do all three very critically important callings, to carry them out, and help us to do them well, empowered by your Holy Spirit, to do them for your glory. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how good your gifts are. Heavenly Father, while we were rebels, while we were sinners, while we were outside of your kingdom, you sent your Son to die for us, and you gave us the gift of life. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would look to your love, and that you could grow strength and boldness in us to outpour the love that you have given us, to outpour the gifts that you have given us. Heavenly Father, we just want to trust you for your provision, and we want to provide for those around us. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that you'd grow us in giving in this season. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Want to continue to remind our listeners that Operation Christmas Child is a wonderful and a powerful ministry that has been used by the Lord to impact many children's lives with the gospel and with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. For people that may not be familiar with it and would want to know, well, just what is Operation Christmas Child? Well, the Ministry Samaritan's Purse, this is a project by them. It's called Operation Christmas Child, and they collect shoeboxes filled with fun toys, school supplies, and personal care items, and delivers them to children in need around the world to demonstrate God's love in a very tangible and understandable way. And for many of these children, the gift-filled shoebox is the first gift they've ever received of its kind. Since 1993, Operation Christmas Child, again, the world's largest Christmas project of its kind, has collected and delivered more than 232 million shoebox gifts to children in more than 170 countries and territories in 2025. Operation Christmas Child hopes to collect enough shoebox gifts to reach another 12.6 million children. Now, keep in mind, during National Collection Week, which is November 17th through the 24th, Samaritan's Purse will collect gift-filled shoeboxes at nearly 5,000 drop-off locations in all 50 states and Puerto Rico as well. And so to learn more about how you can get involved or how to pack a shoebox, to view gift suggestions and find the nearest drop-off location, you can go to the following website, samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Again, that's samaritanspurse.org/OCC, that we are encouraging again you to get involved. And keep in mind, you know, most anyone can pack a shoebox, but it's not more than a shoebox. It's a wonderful gift from the heart of God to bless a child and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're very honored and blessed to have as a phone guest today someone who's a representative from Operation Christmas Child and actually has a very powerful testimony about his journey to where the Lord is using him in ministry today. Our phone guest is George Onyango. He may have to help me to better more correctly pronounce his name when he comes on. But George, how are you today?
I am doing great, sir. Thank you for having me on this radio station.
All right, Ian. Please pronounce your last name correctly so that I'll have it and we'll have it as well, would you please?
Yes. So the way it's pronounced, you actually did a pretty good job at it. It's Onyango. That's how you pronounce my last name.
All righty. Okay, then. Well, Brother George, thank you so much for being with us. And I'm going to ask if you'll take time to further introduce yourself, and you're going to share with our listeners your journey insofar as how once upon a time you were blessed through this ministry and how the Lord brought you to where you are in serving him today.
Yes, thank you so much. So again, my name is George Onyango. I was born in Kenya and raised in Uganda. I was raised in Uganda in a small island called Lake Victoria. That's where I received, that's where I was grown up. I grew up so poor in Kenya that we could barely have any food to eat. And so my dad made a decision to move to Lake Victoria on a small island. And when I talk about a small island on Lake Victoria, a very remote island without water, running water, without electricity. When it got dark, that meant it was bedtime. We grew up in a very hard conditions that led us to not going to school, even not having a meal. Perhaps we could only have 3 meals in a week. While my parents were in the island, my dad happened to pass away. He passed away of malaria. My mom was a very young mother to this point of life. She was around 18, and she didn't know what to do. She thought it was the end of the world for her. And so my mom didn't know if she could go back to Kenya, where she was originally from, or stay in the tiny bit island, in the tiny small island. But my mom made that choice to stay there after my dad had died, with the hopes that one day his children, his 2 boys, that was me and my older brother, would have a good life, that there will be some important people in the future. But that wasn't the case for us, because my mom, moving to a very remote island where she knew nobody, didn't speak any of these languages, life became so hard, to the point that we had to step out of everything that we were doing to support our mom. The only job that my mom could do in the island was to keep the birds away from the fish that the local fishermen had caught. So my mom had to stay on a rock on the island all day, every day, Monday through Friday, on a rainy day, on a hot day. We made this, because this is the only thing that my mom could have done to earn a living. She had not been to school. Because of these hard conditions, me and my older brother had no choice but stop going to school, because schooling wasn't a need. We didn't need education. We were living for a survival. We just wanted to get food. And even in those hard conditions, even when we tried going fishing on the lake, most of the time when we went fishing, we couldn't catch any fish. I remember one day going a week without a meal, and we got so scared because it had rained all week, and my mom didn't make any money, and we had caught no fish. At that point, I met a missionary who came to the island to help with the medical facilities. At that point, I'd learned how to speak 7 different tribal languages in the island as a child. And so she told me, George, if you help me translate from English to the local languages, I may be able to take you to school. I couldn't resist the offer. I said, yes, please. But even on the days that I could make it to school...
Brother George, I want to hop in right here. We're going to pick up there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is George Onyango. He's a representative with Operation Christmas Child. We'll be right back.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, and like a flood, his mercy rains.
Music of Chris Tomlin with Amazing Grace. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is George Onyango. He's a representative with the Outreach Ministry of Samaritan's Purse called Operation Christmas Child, and he's sharing about his own journey in relation to this great outreach ministry. So, Brother George, before you go back to sharing your story, would you pray for our listeners that the Lord would help them to have ears to hear all they want to, all that He'd have them to hear and receive through the broadcast today, and then we ask that you go right back to your story, okay?
Yes. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for today. There's so many ways that you've been so faithful in our lives, Lord. But I pray for our listeners right now, God, Father, that whatever it is that they're going through right now, God, that you will remind them of how faithful you are, Lord. Father, meet each one of our listeners right now into their struggles, everything that they're going through, Lord. Remind them that how important and how special they are, that you created them in your own image, Lord, and there is nothing too big that you can't fix, Lord. So I pray for each one, everybody listening today, Lord, that you will meet them at their point, Lord. You will meet them at their need, Lord, that we will celebrate together as a church, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. Amen. All right. So if you'll just pick up where you left off there before the break, please.
Yes. So I met a missionary, as I was saying earlier, who came and offered me services to be able to translate from English to the local language, because at this point of life, I'd learned how to speak 7 tribal languages. And when those offers were made, I couldn't resist. I taught her the local languages and exchanged them with English, and she paid my tuition. But even on the day that I made it to school, she was just a local missionary in the island who didn't have much. So that meant I still need to figure out where I could come with the school supplies, which I didn't have. I remember going to school, and when I talk about the school, our classes were under a mango tree. Mm-hmm. And for my case, I didn't have books and pencil. So how I did my work was on the ground under a mango tree. I had to clear the ground with my palm, with my fingers, to take away the dirt, and that's how I did my homework. And I used my fingers as a pencil to be able to write on that dirt. That was how I did my schoolwork, over and over, to the point that I started losing a grip on my fingers, because I couldn't afford, I didn't have anything. I didn't have any money to buy a book or a pencil. I do remember one incident. I'd done my mathematical work on the ground with my fingers. A child, one of the students, accidentally erased my mathematical work. And the teacher came by doing his round, checking on everybody's work. And he asked me, George, where is your work? I told him, sir, I did my work, but one of the other students accidentally rest on it. The teacher's words to this day, which I will not forget, his words were, George, it's not my problem that you're poor, that you can't afford a book or a pencil. He steps on my fingers, and they broke. I cried so hard, but I had to become, to man up at this year as a child, because I didn't want to go back home and tell my mom what had happened to the school, because I didn't want to give my mom stress. My mom was just a foreigner living in a tiny island, just trying to have the best for her children. Mm-hmm. And so that was just one of the incidents. I do remember one specific time that we had gone another week without food. And my mom asked me, George, can you go to your missionary friend and ask her if she can spare change so we can buy food? We haven't had food. I'm afraid we're not going to make it. As a boy, I told mom, I'm not going to do it. I feel embarrassed. I feel shy. I don't want to go ask. Mm-hmm. And my mom told me, son, if you don't ask, we're not going to make it. I was so skinny. The bones on my ribs were showing up. And so when I thought of the condition and we were not going to have any help, nobody was going to help us, I made the decision to go to the base where the missionary was staying. I asked the missionary friend of mine by the names, told her we were starving and not had food. My mom asked if you have change to spare. She said, George, I don't have any change to spare, but you came at the right time. We are eating dinner. I'm more than happy to take a plate of food so we can go share. It was dark. And she carried the plate with me. We went down on a grass-thatched house, because that's where we lived, without light. And me and my brother shared a meal. And that's how we lived. It was painful. And so at one point, my missionary friend was coming back to the States. And she told me, George, the situation you're in here with your mom and your brother is alarming. I don't want to leave you here when I'm gone. I don't know what's going to happen to you, because we had developed kind of a deep relationship. I know of a place that can take care of you when I'm gone. When I'm going back to the U.S. And this was a Christian orphanage that at least would take care of you. At least there would be shelter. At least there would be three meals. And maybe they would love on you. I thought about it. I didn't want to leave my mom and my older brother, because I didn't know how they were going to make it. When I talked to my mom, I said, son, you know, me being in Highland here, it's a sacrifice I made. I always wanted you guys to be better off, to have a better life. So maybe this opportunity is going to be good for you. Don't worry about me and your brother. We will survive. If she's offering to take you to the orphanage and there's going to be school and food, go. I was afraid. I didn't know what was going to happen to my mom with my brother in the island, where there is no electricity, there is no water, there is no food, just living for survival. But I thought about it, and I made a choice. And so I made it to the orphanage on the mainland. Life wasn't so easy even in the orphanage. This was around 95. I happened to be one of the children that they didn't really care about. They didn't love me. They didn't show any love. They didn't show any support whatsoever. Even to this day, I still wonder why they didn't like me. And I'm not, when I mean me, there were other children too that were in the same situation. The only time I thought that the orphanage needed me or knew I existed was because there's at least one thing that I'd known how to do. and that was drumming. I was good at drumming the local drums. So that's the time that they picked out, where is George? So he can drum. And this was done for a fundraiser for them to raise support for the orphanage. But that's when they needed me. They made me dress up, put on banana leaves on my head without a shirt on, so I could look more African to attract their donation. And so I hated the orphanage. I hated being there. Not only that, it made me hate God. I thought God didn't exist. If he did, I didn't want anything to do with him, because he didn't love on us. We had gone through suffering. It was beyond repair. I remember the thoughts I had in an orphanage were suicidal. I wanted to commit suicide. I thought worthless. Nobody loved me. Nobody cared. They just used me. So many times I'd wanted to run out of that orphanage because I thought I was better off. But then I asked myself, if I ran off, where would I go? I couldn't go back to the island because I didn't want to let my mom down. I didn't want to give her stress. I was afraid if I showed up back home, maybe she could also have a suicidal thought because of the love she had for us, that she wanted us to be better people. So the last thing I had, my option in my mind, was to just kill myself. Without her knowing, without causing more pain. The damage was too much. In 98, during December, that's when we heard there were going to be some present given to the orphanage. And they were going to be given to everybody. It was a communication that would be made to us at the orphanage. But I still didn't care about the gift. I just wanted to get out of the orphanage. I wanted to go die. But I had a whisper on my voice, and I'm going to be honest with you, by that time I wasn't a Christian. I didn't believe in him. So to me, it was just a whisper. It was just a voice on my head. George, before you walk out of this orphanage, out of those doors, can you just wait one more time and see what those presents have to offer? See what is in that present they're talking about. Then maybe at that point you're free to do what you want to do. If you want to go commit suicide, that's up to you. But just wait. And those are the whispers I had. And I obeyed the whispers. I listened to my own voice. And this time around Christmas, I was 18. We heard that these boxes, and by then we didn't know what kind of boxes they were. We just knew they were boxes, Christmas gift. They were going to be delivered by a truck. Mm-hmm. The orphanage was built 3 miles away from the main road, uphill. So I had a temporary joy, at least for a present that I would get, like the other kids, like the other boys in the orphanage. We ran 3 miles uphill to go wait for the truck down the road with excitement. 3 miles back. This 3 miles back was the most exciting, at least I've ever had in a while. Mm-hmm. I was running so close to the truck that I could hear the truck driver say in local language, "What is wrong with them? We're going to run into them." But I could care less, because at least I already knew I was going to commit suicide. I was just waiting on a present. So I really didn't care if the truck driver was going to run into me. But at least I just wanted to see what that gift was in those boxes. The second thing to the trucks, to me, it brought joy, because I grew up in an island where I'd not even seen a vehicle or a bicycle for use, for sake. Mm-hmm. So seeing a huge truck, I was so excited. That's the first big truck I've ever seen. I think it was a 16-wheeler. And so when the truck made it on a compound for the orphanage, There were brown boxes with wings like an airplane. I can't remember up to today. Mm-hmm. They offloaded them. The children were excited. Now, at this point, like I mentioned earlier, I was 14. I happened to be one of the older kids in the orphanage. They had to give the boxes to the younger ones first. And everybody was handed theirs. I saw the excitement on other kids. Everybody was happy. But to me, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know if I could be happy again. The feelings were mixed. Because for my case, I was always used. When they handed me the box, I held it so tight, next to my chest. And the reason being, I didn't want anybody to take it away. I thought someone was going to take the present, the box, away from me. Because they've always used me for presentation or some kind of a way. And one of the ladies saw me.
Brother George, we're going to have to jump in one more time and we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is George Onyango. He's a representative with Operation Christmas Child and sharing about his journey connecting with Operation Christmas Child and the gift he received and how the Lord used that in his life. We'll be right back.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Oh.
Music of David Crowder with How He Loves. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We are in National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child. Again, it's a wonderful outreach that's sending the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Every shoebox gift is an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ and his love for each and every one of us. And so, again, keep in mind, collection week is November 17th through the 24th. And so you can be involved by, you can learn more about how to get involved is you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And this year, Operation Christmas Child is hoping to reach 12.6 million children with the gospel through a simple shoebox gift. And you can help to be a part of that. So I hope that you will take time to go to the website again, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, to learn more and to find a drop-off location near you. Our phone guest is George Onyango, a gentleman who's a representative with Operation Christmas Child. And he's been sharing his testimony, his journey of how the Lord used Operation Christmas Child to touch his life with the gospel as well. So, Brother George, if you'll pick up where you left off, please.
Yes, thank you so much. So at this point, when they handed me the box, as I mentioned, I was talking earlier, I hold it so tight. Because I was afraid someone was going to take it. Because I thought that's what they have always done. I kept wondering left and right on the back front if they were going to take the box away from me. Because I thought that's what they always did after the show. At this time, one of the ladies watched me from aside. She walked right to me, said, "George, the box is yours. I had to ask her again, "It's mine?" And she said, "Yes, the box is yours." I didn't believe it. It became the time to open the box. The box was full of vitamin there. But one thing that I came across that caught my attention was a notebook. I can remember to this day, it was divided into three, black and white. I took the notebook and I put it right on my nose. The smell was the best thing I've ever smelled. It was smelled so good, I didn't want to let go of. But that wasn't it. I could not write on the ground on a dirt anymore. I had a book that I could write on that was mine. What was going on in my head, I was going to divide it into math, science, and English. And that wasn't it. There was a pencil. I had to cry because I looked at my fingers the way they were spoiled. There was crust on them. That was gone. Now I have my pencil that I'm going to write in a notebook. The pencil had eraser. We call it rubber, that I could use to erase and reuse my notebook over and over. When the eraser went out of the pencil, I had to bite off the tip to push more eraser out. To the point that there was only the metal part left on the pencil. So when I tried to rub to clean my notebook, it was just ripping it apart. And that's when I realized it was way too gone. I was so happy. The other thing in the box that caught my attention was a yo-yo. And you might be wondering why a yo-yo. Because in the midst, when I was opening the stuff in the box, I accidentally got out the yo-yo and it lit. It was light. It caught my attention. I had to redo it again. When I redid it again, there was light on a yo-yo. Mm-hmm. To me, God has... All I could think of, this could be a perfect present to give to my mom when I go to the island, because she had no money to buy kerosene or lantern. But at least she could use a little bit of light on a yo-yo to be able to use at night to see where she needed to go. So I thought of a present yo-yo I could give it to my mom. Mm. And then that we moved on. A year later, my missionary friend had come and she came and asked me, "George, do you still want to be in the orphanage?" I told my American friend I didn't want to be here. They still didn't like me. I felt used. And at that point, she shared the gospel with me. Now, back on the day when the shoeboxes were given, there was not so much of a gospel presentation. It was more of a present. So she shared the gospel a year later after I received the box. And she said, "Jesus was a free gift for me, that he died on the cross for my sins." At that point, I hated God so much. But when I remember the shoebox that someone packed, gave me a present that was mine to keep and knew exactly what was in that box, a pencil, a yo-yo, and a notebook that George needed. If a human being knew that, how much more is our loving Father God in heaven who loves us? How much more does he have for me? I exchanged my life to Christ. I believed in him. I wanted to know more on him. I became more active in the local church because my love for Christ had grown. Because he loved me. He sent his son as a free gift for me. And I only expressed that through a tangible way of on a shoebox that made me understand what a free gift was.
Okay, George.
I exchanged my land.
At this point in your story, how old are you at that point in your story?
At this point of story, I was 16 years old.
Okay, I see. All right. And did you get a chance to go back to see your mom and brother any time around that age?
Yes, So at that point, I went back to the island because I didn't want to live in the orphanage anymore. Mm-hmm. So I got so involved in a local church in the island. We helped establish a church in the island and share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then my missionary friend decided to help me go to school. I became more involved in a local church. I went to high school. After my high school, I decided to pursue my love for Christ more, and I felt God was leading me into missions with a local Christian organization. Mm-hmm. In 2009, while I was pursuing God in a local Christian organization, that's where I met a beautiful lady who had come from the U.S., and we met in Uganda. And we pursued a relationship, and in 2009, I came to the U.S. And now God has blessed me with a wonderful family. We have three kids, 14 years old, mm-hmm. 10 and 7. God has blessed me with a job. God has given me a second chance in life through a tangible gift.
Mm. Praise God. That's good. Well, did your mother and brother come to know Christ as well?
My elder brother didn't know Christ after that. My mom is still not a believer yet.
Okay then. Well, our time is almost gone, but George, I really appreciate you sharing your journey and your story. And, you know, I want to say to, in the way of encouragement to every single listener, keep in mind, George's story is one more story that reminds us why the ministry of Operation Christmas Child is so powerful, so beautiful. We live in a big world where there are many, many children who have yet to really hear the gospel and need to hear the gospel. And the giving of a shoebox full of gifts is a wonderful tool to help touch and open the heart of a child in many a place so that they too can come to know Christ and the love that only Christ could give them. So again, George, really appreciate you coming and sharing. What would you want to say in the last few minutes to encourage our listeners to get involved with Operation Christmas Child? What would you like to share with the listeners about that?
I want to share with everybody listening today, please pack a shoebox. One shoebox could save a child's life like it did on my behalf. It gave me hope. It made me understand the love of Jesus Christ. Now, what Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, make sure that in each shoebox there is a gospel presentation, that the child get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So every single shoebox you pack, a child gets to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pack a shoebox. Let's make a difference. Let's make disciples of all nations through a tangible way of the Christmas shoebox.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, George, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story of how the Lord used Operation Christmas Child to touch your life and to bless your life in so, so many ways. And again, to every person listening, as I mentioned, this is National Collection Week. And of course, the dates are November 17th through the 24th. We're encouraging you to get involved with helping to pack a shoebox now. And keep in mind to pray much for this ministry, this great outreach, because again, it's a wonderful tool that continues to be a means whereby the Lord brings the gospel to children all over the world. Again, to learn more about Samaritan's Purse and specifically about Operation Christmas Child, go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find a drop-off location for your boxes as well. Or just to learn more about this great outreach, again, go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Again, that's samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Thank you, Father, for every person that's listening. Thank you for the many individuals, the many churches that have been involved all over the world of supporting with this great outreach known as Operation Christmas Child. Thank you for the millions of children that have come to know Christ through this outreach, and thank you for the millions that will be touched this year by this great outreach as well. Stir every listener to do whatever you'd have each one of us to do in the way of getting involved with supporting and working with this great outreach and helping to further share the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ with children all over the world. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we usually do, before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step in your life, would you from your heart pray this prayer now and commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you and follow you every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect with you. We're wanting to be in touch with you. Keep in mind, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to connect with you and share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And also, again, if you're wanting more information about Operation Christmas Child, how to get involved, or to find a drop-off location for your boxes, once again, go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Again, that's samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.